The animation in Tangled was very good, and there was something about the style of it and the way the story was being told through it that caught my attention. There was something familiar about it. So as soon as I got home from the theater, I started doing a little Googling to try to figure out what was it about that film that felt so familiar to me. Well, sure enough, the reason the film's animation felt familiar to me was because of who the artist was behind the film. It was Glenn Keane, one of the greatest animation artists in the world, and one who I have admired his work for years. You might not know his name because he's rarely seen on camera, but you probably are familiar with some of his animation work. He's worked at Disney since 1974. And some of the films that he's done include The Rescuers, Pete's Dragon, The Fox and the Hound, The Black Cauldron, The Great Mouse Detective, Oliver and Company, The Little Mermaid, The Rescuers Down Under, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Pocahontas, Tarzan, Treasure Planet, and most recently, Tangled. On many of these films, he served as the supervising animator and the character designer. In other words, he was the creative genius who developed the characters, the animation style, and the story for these films. His catalog of work is nothing short of amazing. He's had his hand in almost every well-known animated feature film over the last three decades, which is really quite amazing, isn't it? There's something else about Glenn Keane that you may not know. He's a Christian. He's a Jesus follower, very devoted Christian. In fact, there is a very powerful personal testimony of his faith in Christ found on the second disc of the DVD set for Beauty and the Beast, which I want to show you and share with you this morning as part of the introduction for the teaching. He's going to talk about his work on the scene from Beauty and the Beast near the end of the film when the beast is transformed into a human prince. In case you have forgotten that particular scene, some of you haven't seen Beauty and the Beast in a while probably, some of you maybe never, I've actually included that scene, and we'll watch that scene first, and then this short testimony by him about him talking about his work on that scene and what he was going through in creating that. I shared this video about 9 years ago as part of a teaching I did at Warehouse Christian Ministry. Some of you may remember that. It did my heart good to go back and watch that again, and I hope it does the same for you. So, let's dim the lights and we'll watch a cartoon. The transformation from a beast to a prince truly is a parable of the Christian life. The verse that Glenn Keane quoted is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And today I would like to talk about becoming new. And I want to talk about it under four major headings, or talk about four major ideas associated with it. The first is that there is a universal longing within our hearts to become new. Second, that we can become new in Jesus Christ. Third, in Christ we are becoming new now. And fourth, in Christ, we will become completely new one day. First, there is a universal longing within our hearts as human beings to become new. I like getting new stuff. And one of the things that's fun about Christmas, apart from the obvious spiritual significance, is getting new stuff, presents, right? I mean, there are probably a few of us on the more mature side of the scale that's from, oh no, presents are not important to me. They are to me. I enjoy getting presents, and I think most of us do. Amen? It's fun getting new stuff. This is the last Sunday of the year. And one of the things that is common for people to do at this time is to make New Year's resolutions. People make commitments to change something about themselves, like breaking a habit of some kind, establishing a new behavior, accomplishing some other goal. And what lies behind this idea of New Year's resolutions is a desire or a longing to be different, to be better, to be a new person. There's a buzz that's continuing to grow over here out of this monitor. Not sure how we can kill that, but I can unplug it. We desire a new self. We want to be better people than we are, and that desire reveals itself in all kinds of different ways. Self-improvement books remain one of the hottest-selling items in bookstores. Why? Because people want to be better. We are in search of a new and improved self. People have their exterior appearance reshaped in various ways, adding a little here, taking away a little there, hiding a little of this, highlighting a little of that. And even though this is something that is on the outside of a person, it points to a deeper internal longing we have for change, for transformation, for being different. Feelings of guilt reflect a desire to be different and new. When we feel guilty, we know we fail to live up to a higher, better standard of being. There's an ideal out there that we know we are falling short of. I don't think I've ever met anyone who feels completely satisfied with who they are as a person. We tell ourselves that we're okay. We try to convince others that we're okay. People claim to be completely happy and satisfied with who they are. But in those quiet moments of honesty, the truth comes out. We want to be more than we are. We aren't perfect. And we would like to be a whole lot closer to perfect than we are at the moment. There's a general feeling of restlessness and discontent within our heart that pulls us toward that thing that we are not and want to be and know that we ought to be. God put that desire in us so that we would seek after Him. I think it's what Solomon was getting at when he wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has put eternity into the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Second, we can become new in Christ. The incredible gift from God to us, His offer in Christ, is a new life, the ultimate new thing, the ultimate gift. The thing that we all long for and seek after is the very thing that God is offering to us. Nicodemus asked Jesus how a person could receive a new life after they have already been born. And Jesus said to him that a person must be born again by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. We can spend a lifetime trying to change who we are, but until there is a change at the root of our being, there can be a whole lot of wasted energy. A familiar example, especially for those of you who have kids or have had kids, or maybe you're a grandma or a grandpa even now. But I was changing the batteries on one of my daughter's toys years ago, and like many of the toys nowadays, the battery door had one of those safety screws holding the door in place. Apparently, to prevent children from taking the batteries out of the toy and electrocuting themselves with the terrifying power of a AA battery, they put these safety screws in there. Well, rather than getting a small Phillips screwdriver out of my toolbox in the garage, I opened the top drawer of my desk where I was sitting, and I started rummaging around for something that I could use as a makeshift screwdriver. The first thing I saw was a paper clip, so I grabbed it out of the drawer, and I tried to loosen the screw with it. No go. So into the drawer I went again, looking for something else, and I found one of those little brads, metal brads, and I got that out, and I tried again to loosen the screw. Again, no go. So I went back into the drawer, and way back at the back, there was an old X-Acto knife. I thought, bingo, that'll work. So I pulled that out, and I started working on that screw again, and I was working on it for several minutes, and all I really managed to do was mess up the head of the screw and put some scratches in the back of the toy. I finally had to admit defeat. I had to get up, go all the way into the garage, to my toolbox, get a Phillips screwdriver, come all the way back in the house. Screw came right out when I had the right tool, no problem. There was a fundamental problem with my approach to changing the batteries in that toy. I didn't start out using the right tool to do it. And instead, I wasted a lot of time and effort trying to do it with everything else that I could find in my desk drawer. Well, we can do the same thing in a sense when we try to work on our self separated from Jesus Christ. We try a new book, a new diet, a new counselor, a new set of friends, a new church, a new club, a new job, a new hobby, a new gadget, a new car, a new outfit, a new haircut. Unfortunately, we keep sliding right back into the same rut. Why? Because I'm still with me. Because I'm still with me. And none of these things can change the me underneath everything else. I need a new me. Not just put stuff over the top of the old me. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, Jesus Christ is the source of power for real change to take place in our life. We don't have the power to make the kind of fundamental, foundational change in our life that is needed in order for us to become new creations. But God does have that power. And he promises to make those fundamental changes in us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 4, Paul writes, he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It says, we are God's workmanship. We are the products of his creative effort. Literally, we are his works of art, is what that word means. Glenn Keane, the Disney animation artist, in an interview, had such a strong sense of purpose and calling about creating the drawings for the transformation sequence of the beast in the film, Beauty and the Beast. Remember, he said he knew he had been born for that moment. He'd been born for that moment. God made him for that moment. He's God's work of art, born to create a work of art. And the same is true for every one of us. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you wonder about the purpose for your life? You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are God's creative expression to creatively express His glory through your life. That's your purpose. You're to offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice, worshiping God through your living. You were born for this moment. For this moment. For your God's workmanship. Third, in Christ we are becoming new now. The new life that God gives us begins when we receive Jesus Christ into our life and we begin to follow Him as a disciple. But as all of us know who have begun this journey with Jesus Christ, we are a long way from being finished works of art right now. We resemble the slave awakening sculptures of Michelangelo's, which were shown and mentioned in the interview video earlier, where we can see the person emerging from the marble, but much of the person remains within the uncut stone, obscured, trapped, unfinished, waiting to be completely freed. Those sculptures are a powerful illustration of a believer's life of becoming. We are becoming new. We're God's work of art in progress. We're His work of art now, and we are becoming the final glorious creation that He intends each of us to be. And during this time of being made, we are being made. We're challenged by the Lord to participate in His work by putting off our old self and putting on the new self. Ephesians 4:22 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Colossians 3:5, it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." See, there is a prince inside of this beastly thing you see before you. For real. I have as hard a time believing it as you do. Maybe more so. Because I live in a real close relationship with this thing. The Lord wants me to live like the prince of the kingdom of God that I am, rather than as a beast of the earth. And when I fail to live up to what I am becoming, I am in a way denying the new life that is in me. But what a struggle it is. I resemble a beast more than a prince. But the thing that keeps me going is the hope that I have for my future. Which brings us to number four. In Christ, we will become completely new one day. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash. in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. You might feel like you are nothing more than an ugly, bad-tempered, ornery old beast right now. But one day, you're going to be changed into the beautiful prince or princess of God that you really are. We need to remember that when we start to feel discouraged about ourselves. I mean, there are days when I think the most kind thing that I can do for the world is to find a cave somewhere and get lost in there and never come out. It's helpful for me to remember that I will not always be like this. Keeps me anchored and hopeful. One of my favorite verses is 1 John 3:2. It says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." To know that one day I will be like Jesus Christ is an awesome thing to look forward to. Revelation 21, very end of the book, last chapter, tells us this. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Closing this morning, it's the time of year when people make resolutions. What does the word resolution mean? It's another word for promise, or oath, or vow, or pledge. God has made a resolution, a promise, a vow, a pledge to make us into new people, to transform us into people like Jesus Christ one day. This is a promise that God has made to us, not a promise that we have made to God. I can't keep that kind of promise. I'll fail again and again. But God will never fail. He will accomplish what he has set out to do. He has promised. And it's his resolution that really matters. Not so much mine. My New Year's resolutions last a couple weeks, if they're easy. But his resolution will be fulfilled. Philippians 1:3, Paul said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Some of you have never allowed God to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. He wants to. God loves you and wants to take away your guilt and your loneliness. He wants to take that old nasty beast that you are and begin to change you from the inside out into a prince or princess. You may be someone who has worked really hard at changing yourself, but you see so little progress for your efforts and it doesn't seem to ever stick. You want so badly to be different. We all do. Come to Jesus Christ. Allow the Lord to touch you and to change your life. He will make you into the person that you really want to be. You've always, deep down inside, know that you ought to be. God will make you into his work of art. Now, it won't happen overnight. Just going to warn you right now. It's going to take a lifetime. It takes a long, long time. But you know what? Good art always takes a long time. Good art isn't done like that. Good art takes a lot of effort, a lot of time. But the artist has great plans for you. And he's going to finish his work. There's not a more important New Year's resolution that you can make yourself than to begin a new life in Jesus Christ. Close with this passage from Psalm 73. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for the promise that you have made to us, the resolution that you have made to complete the good work that you have started in us through Christ. We thank you that we are part of your kingdom, Lord. I pray for those this morning who have never taken hold of the offer that you have extended through Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they do that, Lord. That they too would become a part of your kingdom. Allow you to touch their life and take their guilt away and give them freedom and peace and a future. Lord, I pray that for all of us this year coming up, that our lives would be truly living sacrifices, that we would bring glory to you through our living. Our life would be an act of worship to you, Lord. That we express through our lives, God, our love for you, and your glory would be shown through us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.